Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. And we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today's date is Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch. You are there, Butch.
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
I can now. I couldn't at first.
Yeah, I'm doing
welcome,
just fine.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing just fine. Feeling better every day. And I know that you're feeling well because you sound chipper.
I am chipper today. Don't know why. Other than I woke up this morning, so I'm chipper today.
Well, that is a good sign. If you wake up and get out of bed, you're doing very well.
There you go. We have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. So let me go ahead and start the market report. So we're going to start with gold. It was up a couple bucks today. And, you know, right now, and it's continuing to trade in the aftermarket. So it's up five at $1,843. Silver was down 21 cents at $27.11. Platinum, get a load of this. Platinum is going to regain its position. Up 61 bucks today.
Wow.
I told you guys to get in on platinum. No, nobody listens. But it's also hard to find product. Up $61, over 5%. And palladium was only up 1.5% at $2,438. So that's a terrific sign for platinum. You have the USDX today is up 0.03. It's down 0.03 at 90.42. Crude oil is up 13 cents at 58.49. The paper markets today, you know, it's the same old thing. And let's see. The Dow was up 61 points at 31,437. The NASDAQ was down 35 points at 13,972, and the S&P was down 1 point at 3,909. 10-year yield is 1.13%. The euro is still holding at 1.21. European Asia markets, not a lot of excitement there. And, you know, Bitcoin was down another 5%. So that's pretty much it. There's lots of things to talk about. But first, we're happy to have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. And hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, I do apologize about last week. I missed everybody. I do apologize.
Oh, we missed you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, listeners. Our internet was down. Anyway, we're going to talk about today. One of the drug giants has something revealing to say about COVID. Actually, they're kind of telling you the truth about it. So I think this is a refreshing kind of report because early in 2021, the drug giant Merck, and this is when we're talking about Merck Pharmaceuticals, what they did is they abandoned two attempts to develop a COVID-19 vaccine. And what they did is they switched into developing therapeutics instead. So why did Merck do that? Well, the COVID-19 vaccine would make the drug company a lot of money, especially after they received $365 million from the United States government to develop drugs for COVID. So there are several reasons why a multimillion-dollar project is kind of shelved. And it usually has to do with big problems with the vaccine. So we're going to take a look at this. So some of the reasons why a drug company would abandon a drug trial or a vaccine trial, most of the time it can involve a variety of reasons, such as contaminated drug product, inability for the drug to perform as desired, no off-label options are available for the drug, serious adverse events occur, and the drug is too expensive to produce. So let me read you a quote from the Merck January 25th, 2021 report. They said, in phase one clinical trials of the COVID vaccine, and after a full review, Merck decided to instead pursue two antiviral drug candidates. The therapeutic drugs will be better tolerated. End of quote. So what Merck discovered in the vaccine trials is that the individual's immune system did not generate the response expected. And when they compared it to individuals who contracted COVID naturally and recovered, they had a better immunity than those using the vaccine. So what Merck actually stated in the report is, quote, although individuals tolerated the treatment, but the immune response was inferior to those seen following a natural infection and recovery. So they're saying your immune system does a better job than using the vaccine. Isn't that something?
Well, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, imagine that. I mean, the way God created it to work. Imagine. Isn't it amazing? Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, the two candidates they're developing for the therapeutic drugs they're working on for COVID, one is a drug that addresses a lot of inflammation. It has a recombinant fusion protein, and they call it MK7110. It's already in phase 3 study with a reported 50% reduction in mortality that involves respiratory failure in severe COVID cases. So these drugs that they're developing are for people that are hospitalized with COVID and they need assistance. Now, another antiviral drug agent, it's called molnupiravir. It's also known as MK4482. It's in a phase 2 testing right now. And it can be used in clinical settings for in-home treatments. So this drug is scheduled to be released in the marketplace this May. And once it gets approved, patients would need to take this antiviral drug twice a day for about 5 days. So Merck plans to manufacture about 20 million doses of this oral antiviral drug. So this is the, you know, this is kind of like going to the doctor and you get an antibiotic going home, you know. So Merck is stressing that these drug options, after they get approved, will avoid the problem the COVID vaccines have with the overreaction, the immune system response being disabled, causing autoimmune disease. So that's what we see with Pfizer and Moderna. They're creating autoimmune disease. Now, I did want to also mention, and I will in a minute, what a Dublin medical doctor discovered about the Pfizer. So don't let me forget. Don't let me forget, Melanie. Merck
is asking me.
Yeah. Well, so Merck is really confirming for us that the COVID vaccines that are out for use are damaging immune systems. And in several publications, which was the Oxford AstraZeneca, they were kind of up in arms on some reports claiming their COVID vaccine is less than 8% effective in patients between 56 and 69 years of age. So the drug company is denying these claims, and Germany is actually investigating any, and they may even discontinue or suspend that version of the vaccine. But at present, the UK and Israel are ahead of the world in administering these vaccines. So Israel is really topping the charts. They have like 40% of their population already vaccinated, and England has 10%. The US has about 7% vaccinated. So what I wanted to mention about the Dublin physician was she gave a report on these vaccines where you go get successive vaccinated shots, so you get like 3 doses. So she said the first dose will cause events, you know, allergic reactions, anaphylactic shock, that kind of thing. The second dose, she said, the COVID protein goes into the cell mitochondria and stays there. So that's all the cells, all the organs of your body have now COVID in them. So she says, if you don't have an underlying medical condition and you survive the vaccine, she says, in the future when you encounter COVID or a version of it that's mutated, she says, your immune system will kick in to defend you from the virus, but it will identify it in all of your organ cells and attack your organs.
Wow.
So what she's saying is the vaccine will weaponize your immune system against you, causing a huge autoimmune response.
Wow.
And this is true because there was a 17-year-old boy that was vaccinated. He had allergic reactions on the first shot. And when he got the second shot, he had a heart attack, and he was hospitalized, and his heart is all inflamed. Wow. At 17. Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. Now, when you see vaccines refrigerated at very cold temperatures below a normal freezer, like the Pfizer is, I think, minus 40 degrees Celsius, that tells me there's nanotechnology in that. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's 94 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Below zero.
As we've been reporting, the U.S. has confirmed 21 antiviral drugs that the FDA has already approved that they have determined are safe to use in your home to help you get over this virus. So in 48 hours, no less, 48 hours. So they have had drugs they can give people and not let them get to the extreme issue of needing hospitalization. So physicians are mostly unaware that it can use these therapeutics. There's 21 different ones.
You know, that's what I said from day one. Why aren't they spending more money on finding, you know, treatments for it? But you talk to people who get tested positive, and they're sent home with nothing.
Yeah. Yes, and if you look at this, that they've had MIT statisticians look at this pandemic from last March, a year ago, all the way up through September of last year, and they did the math, and they looked at the death rate, and the death rate was no different from the prior 2 years. So what they've done is they've taken all deaths, and they lumped them in as COVID deaths. That's how they are pushing fear in the country.
Absolutely.
The death rate's the same. So you don't see people dying, you know, from gunshot wounds and car accidents and heart attacks. You see it all listed as a COVID thing. So basically, Johann Gazik, who came out early last year, said he's a well-renowned virologist, and he said this is just a flu bug. It's going to be a problem for a minority of people that are weak with underlying health conditions, but a majority of people aren't going to have a problem with it. And so he said what the governments were doing, in his opinion, were quite draconian. So they had the help of the media to drive this. You know, they massaged the numbers and just kept it in the news, and people got anxious about it. Doctors didn't know anything about it. It was a novel virus. But what it was created because in 2013, I don't know if you remember this, Melanie, we did a show and we were talking about all these scientists going out to bat caves harvesting viruses from bats. They are a treasure trove of viruses, bats are. And I told you there was going to be, because we've got SARS and MERS, you know, these are from other animals that they've edited proteins in the genetic code of the virus and make it available to jump the gap to infect humans. They've in the laboratory created this evolutionary jump. It wasn't something designed by nature. So I mean, your MERS is really a camel virus. That's from camels.
You know, these are sadistic people. They really are.
I know. Well, and, you know, they tell you they go out and do this. I mean, so it's not a problem for humans, but they're making it a problem for humans. And they'll tell you this garbage that we have to protect mankind and develop this stuff. And then we create vaccines to protect you. So they create the problem and sell you the solution. But unfortunately, what we're seeing, we've got a lot of people, 1%. 1% of the adverse events usually get reported from vaccine use. So if they're saying we have under 500 people dead from the Pfizer other vaccines for COVID, that's only 1% they're getting reported. The rest aren't. So
that's huge.
It is huge. It really is. And that's the case anyway with any vaccine death or adverse event. You know, there were two doctors that, you know, testified to Congress and brought these before the pediatric boards and all this. They had thousands of documents proving vaccines correlate and have caused autism. And they have the CDC was there and they said, we'll never admit that. Now, why would they say something like that? Right.
Well, obviously they don't care. They have other plans.
Well, but the thing is, autism, think about this, Pastor Butch. They are so in the developmental stages of creating serums for specific outcomes. A lot of it has to do with protein switches in the genetic code of the pathogens. And with the genetic editing, they can do this. So they can flip a switch on or off. Notice autism occurs in male children. So they can be gender specific.
Ooh.
Interesting. Never thought of that one.
Wow.
Yeah, never thought of that one.
Right. So taking out the strong males, you know, or some of them anyway. You know, what easier way to control a nation or anyone, any nation really is.
What is the percentage of males versus the females?
For an autism?
Yeah.
There's no females.
None.
There's no autistic.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to hear that. You see, they have a way to they can actually test serums. That's why you see certain outbreaks in certain areas like measles and this and that. But I don't know how much time we have, but doctors found out when the last measles outbreak that they determined that measles was not a natural occurring measles. It was a man-made version, and it was more virulent. So that's what they put in the measles shot, and then all the kids came down with measles.
So what type of symptoms are people going to see that have received the vaccine? I mean, it'll never be reported or anything, but how?
Yeah, I mean, for the Pfizer vaccine, you're going to have your autoimmune, neurological disorders. Death is halfway down the list. This is a working list the FDA has on it. And also at the bottom of the list, and we put this in the newsletter, so people that sign up for the newsletter will get this stuff. All the way at the bottom of the list was an other vaccine type of diseases. So they are acknowledging vaccines give you disease.
Hmm.
I know. I was shocked to see that, to be honest. But
they play this like a fiddle ever since the 50s with the polio vaccine right on up.
Yeah, I think. Well, where do we live, Pastor Butch? In a world where Satan is ruling things,
yeah,
he has a short time.
Prince of the power of the air. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He corrupts everything. And what better way to harm mankind than to take an area of business that's supposed to help you and make it harm you?
Sure.
Contact info, Wendy.
Oh, thepowerherbs.com, 866. 229-3663, and we're having a Valentine's Day sale, 25% off. Details online.
Alrighty, thank you very much. We'll see you next week, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 8-1-8-100-375-4188. I almost gave out my cell number. I don't want to do that one. 800-375-4188. And so we had a nice little day in gold and not too bad of a day in silver. And you know, it's just the same old thing, Butch, just the same old thing. But there was one report that came out today. Let me see if I can pull it up. I got distracted during break time. I wanted to do that. But it was, again, about the U.S. January. U.S. government posted a budget deficit of $163 billion. This is a record high for the month. And $130 billion jump from the deficit in the same month last year. So as a new round of direct payments to individuals were distributed, this is what they're saying. Receipts for January rose 3% from the year earlier period to $385 billion. And let's see if there's any other interesting information. The January deficit would have been considerably larger if not for some $44 billion in benefits being paid in December because of the New Year's Day holiday came out at the start of the weekend. So that's a good thing, I guess. Oh, good grief. So there you have it. Budget deficit, $163 billion in January.
What's that?
A record high for the month.
Big deal, right? I mean, what the heck? What's a few billion dollars here and there?
I know. I don't know why everybody.
Maybe we need to get
tired of getting a hissy fit every time we hear that and so forth.
Yeah.
But
what, you know, if tree in here, tree in there, you know, we'll be all right. It doesn't cause inflation. Nothing's going to change. It'll be okay.
Nothing's going to. Yeah, we're good. And you know what? If we have a problem, we know who we can turn to, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've done it for years. Why not? Why change now?
Why change now?
Let the government take it over.
Absolutely. Why not?
That's how you do it. Yeah. I mean, that's the mindset of a lot of people. We'll just go to Uncle Sam. He'll see we're okay. But anyway, I'd like to add something what Wendy said too about the vaccination, because I thought this was very interesting. An entire school district in Ohio cancels classes after too many school staff had negative reaction to experimental COVID mRNA injections. Now, folks, this is not a vaccine. They'll tell you it's not a vaccine. It's an injection. It does not fight. It does not work like other vaccines. It's not a vaccine. It changed your DNA. Look it up for yourself. Anyway, an entire school district in Ohio canceled classes on Monday this week after so many of the staff suffered side effects from one of the experimental COVID mRNA injections over the weekend. 2 days after employees were given their first round of COVID-19 vaccinations, the Fairless local school district canceled classes, attributing it to many developing side effects and becoming ill. In most cases, as much as 80% of the eligible employees are accepting the vaccinations. Medina County Schools canceled class on Friday to allow employees to all be vaccinated on the same day. Other districts are choosing to have their mass vaccinations over the weekends, so not to interfere with classes. Parents reportedly received a text on Sunday from the school district superintendent Bidlack notifying parents of the school closure, which indicates that this cancellation of classes was not scheduled and was only decided the day after seeing how many of the district staff became sick or injured from the injections. So think about it. The majority of them got sick or injured after the injection on Friday, so there's no school Monday. And let's go have a shot, Melody. Obviously, they're okay. They just shut down the school district because all the most of the staff got sick.
Did they get insane. They gave the shots to the kids too, right?
No, just the staff.
Just the staff.
And so many of them got sick, they had to close down school. Isn't that amazing? Yet they line up to get them. I don't understand the way people in mass think. I just don't. But I do want to make a comment on Silver. Silver has done very well. You know that.
Of course, I know that.
No, you didn't know that. Okay.
No, I didn't know that, Butch. I had no idea.
I didn't think you did. Well, I thought I'd bring
nope,
it up,
none,
up to,
none.
You know. I thought I'd get you caught up a little bit. But, you know, even the mining stocks are booming. You know, I mean, they're up a bunch. But they've come up with a new word on Twitter called silver squeeze. According to Bob Dole, D-O-L-L, there's going to be a lot more climbing silver. You know, silver is a long ways from reaching its peak. You know that. What was it, 1980-something? It reached $50 an ounce. Is that when it was?
It hit $50 an ounce twice.
So we're only halfway there, basically. So this will be nothing new when silver reaches $50 an ounce. Now, where it's going to go from there, only God knows, but it's up now from what it was a year ago tremendously. So I just thought I'd share that idea that they have a new word out called silver squeeze. And listen to another talk show today of another financial expert said that silver has been underrated for so long. Of course, we know that. You know that already. So is gold. That it's going to break through. When it does, it's going to be a tremendous investment to make now for the future. Any comments?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, gold, silver, you can't forget what the fundamentals are. And, yeah, they're going to push the silver prices. It's easy to push the markets. It's a small market. But the fundamentals are there, too. It's going to be all about the precious metals. It's going to be – I wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't going to be about the precious metals. The prices are going to rise. The premiums jumped again today. Deliveries, question marks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I mean, I've never experienced 25 years. And there isn't anything going on. You had a short squeezes going on Monday of last week, and all of a sudden, but yet financially, in our political arena or financial arena or whatever, it's weird, it's bizarre, and I can't even imagine what it will be when panic truly sets into these markets. There will be nothing for anyone to buy. So Butch is right. You better be thinking, and you better be counting your pennies and making sure that your retirement accounts are covered now. Pay the premium on these products, because I'll tell you what, once the markets break or whatever reason, inflation creeps, whatever reason it begins to push these numbers up and panic strikes, and that's how people lose and how they're going to lose 70% of their money or more. 50, 60, 70, pick a number. It's more than I want to lose.
Yeah, maybe everything.
Because we're also at a point in time and an age, you won't recoup it. You'll never get it back. And that's the whole thing. You know, the one thing that these people are brilliant, they're brilliant at conditioning people. They condition everyone to believe over a time they have patience. They have the idea to make people believe. And they did that with the stock market from the 2008. You can take any great recession, but really 2008 was the number one. They brought it back. They took the Dow from 6,000 to where we're at now, 31,000. Oh, well, if it drops, it's just going to come back. And that's the fool's game. But they got you trained. They got people trained in believing that. And they know how to manipulate. They know how to condition. And they have all the patience in the world, because they don't care if it takes one day, 10 days, 10 years, a century, because that's how they're set up. And it's... And the only time they have issues is when people begin to figure them out. And we have quite a few people now, Butch, that has sort of figured it out, but they got a little sidetracked. But people know there's something wrong. People know there's things aren't right.
You can sense it. You can just sense it, and you sense it. There is. You can feel it.
Well, one and one equals two. And when things, when it doesn't add up to two anymore, yeah, there's something going on. A lot of people can't put their finger on it. It's a feeling. But yeah, there will be no product. I can guarantee you that right now. And, so get it while you can. That's all I can say. And forget about being picky. Forget about being picky on the product that you want. If you can get the good, if you can get the Gold Eagles and Silver Eagles, great. I had a gentleman yesterday, Butch. He says, you know, Melanie, I know your premiums are less than everybody else. I said, yeah, but your premiums are premiums. Wholesale. We're talking wholesale. They're steep. He says, but if I don't do it now, and he wasn't talking from a fear emotion. He was talking about common sense. Some of you men out there do have common sense, Butch. But he was using his common sense. It wasn't fear. It was common sense. So anyway, Butch.
Well, you know, it is common sense. And I have said this in your program 100 times, in my program 1,000 times, that the first silver dollar I bought was $3. They're now 37, 38, I don't know, some in that area. How much of an increase has that been, and what could I invest it in that would went that much in 20 years?
Not much.
So, folks, just think about it, all right? It's going to keep going up. But this next article was kind of interesting, especially considering the topic, I guess. The New York Stock Exchange isn't moving yet. Now listen to this, folks. A revived stock transfer tax that moving in Albany could force us to find a new home. Imagine the stock exchange no longer being in New York. But anyway, the New York Stock Exchange belongs in New York. If Albany lawmakers get their way, however, the center of the global financial industry may need to find a new home. On Wednesday, with more than 25 other representatives of New York's securities industry, I sent a letter to state legislative leaders cautioning against the unintended consequences of imposing a transfer tax on stock sales. History's lesson is clear. If you try to squeeze more revenue from financial firms, the business goes elsewhere. I never thought about this. I mean, the New York Stock Exchange might be Chicago Stock Exchange or Dallas Stock Exchange. I mean, New York, it's been there ever since I've been alive. So that's something to think about. It's getting pretty bad when they got to move the stock exchange.
Yes, it is.
So I just thought I'd share that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
And, you know, there's something else that's going on this year, too, that we haven't talked about in a while. The LIBOR rates. There's no more – they've been, you know, turning away from the LIBOR rate. And the LIBOR is the rate that sets all financial documents, loans, mortgages. I mean, you name it. So – that's something that I'm going to have to mention to Dave to bring up and to get us updated on that, because it's this year and they've gradually been moving away from the LIBOR. But this year could be a really interesting year.
Oh, yes.
Really interesting. Every year is interesting. But
well, you know, everybody was on Trump. Again, I'm not a Trumpeteer, you know that. But everybody's on Trump for spending money and going in debt. Believe me, Biden is going to do much better than Trump. He already has. Much better than Trump has ever thought about doing. He just got one bailout, basically get ready to go through. He's working on another one right now. Debt under this administration is going to make Trump look like a really conservative penny pincher. It's happening. It's going to happen. But you're speaking about other things happening. GM warns chip shortage could cut 2021 earnings up to $2 billion. Now, a computer chip. I love to find me a car back in the 1950s. There were no computer chips in them. They were just basically mechanical, and you could do a tune-up in a half an hour, points, plugs, rotors, whatever. And you were done with tuning the car up. Simple to work on, easy to get to, but now they're all computerized, and chips are a necessity to keep these things running in production. But General Motors reported fourth quarter earnings that easily beat Wall Street expectations. The company warned that a global semiconductor chip shortage could cut its earnings by up $1.5 billion to $2 billion this year. And they're not alone. I mean, they're not alone at all. Ford to close factories and cut jobs. Ford Motor Company said today it will cut 35,000 jobs. Close five factories by the end of the decade. Now, that's not that far away, folks. They're going to start right away. Already are starting. And eliminate Ford vehicles as the second largest automaker seeks to reduce expenses and eliminate losses. Ford said 22,000 of the job cuts, including 12,000 manufacturing jobs, would take place in North America. The automaker will report costs of $4.1 billion for the fourth quarter of 2001 for the restructuring of design to cut an annual capacity of 5.7 million. Anyway, they want to cut out almost 6 million vehicles. And the assembly plants in Edison, New Jersey, Oakville, Ontario, and Hazelwood, Missouri will stop making vehicles over the next few years. The company said Ford will also close a casting plant near Cleveland that makes engine parts, while a fifth plant in Avon Lake, Ohio, also near Cleveland, will close temporarily and eventually receive a new product to build, the company said. That's huge, Melody. And it's, okay, so it goes over the next 4, 5, 6 years. That's still a lot of jobs lost, is it not?
Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's the future. The future isn't job gains. It's job losses.
And these are well-paying jobs. And people went to work here figuring they'd probably get a retire from these plants. But they have for decades. People retired from Ford, GM, and it used to be GM. As GM went, the nation went. That's what they used to say. And after the break, we'll discuss the plan to get that they've had open for decades in other countries. Ford's closing right now. But this is happening. And, folks, I don't want to make anybody uptight or scared, but if you're working at these places, you better start planning on something different for your future. Where are you going to find the kind of money you're making now? You better start thinking about that. If you make it what you're making now, but just getting by, when it's cut in half or more, what are you going to do then? I don't think McDonald's wage will take care of auto workers' expenses. I really don't. These are things you need to plan on. Then you speed that way. Used to be we could count on certain things. But financially, that's over.
One over thing worldwide. We can count on is these breaks, Butch. So
yes,
we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TheTruthAboutRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. What do you got for us, Butch?
Well, I got to say this, that we give our producer a good laugh during the last segment.
We did.
We did. Whenever I asked if you knew that, you said, yeah, no, I didn't know that. Okay. He loved that. But anyway, folks, of course she knows it. That's just a way of me extending the conversation to her, but she already knows it, obviously.
But anyway, we'll
move on from there. I told you Ford is shutting down a company that's been open for decades, the one of their manufacturing sites, and this is in Brazil. Ford has said it's closing its last three factories in Brazil, putting an end to decades of manufacturing presence in the country. The U.S. car maker blamed the pandemic, which is said it amplified years of poor sales and significant losses in the region. About 5,000 people, mostly in Brazil, expected to lose their jobs. 5,000 people, folks, I don't care if it's in Brazil or United States or China, I still 5,000 people without work. The decision is part of a global restructuring by Ford as it tries to improve its financial performance. With more than a century in South America and Brazil, we know these are very difficult but necessary actions to create a healthy and sustainable business, said Ford Chief Executive Jim Farley. I mean, maybe Ford is really trying to survive. That may be true. But they have to have a good bottom line. I understand that, too. But that still means 5,000 people out of work, Melody.
Yeah, it does. And what are they going to do? It's just like the, you know, the Keystone Pipeline guys. What are they going to do? You know? And they were being told, well, they can go build some fans for some windmills or, you know, some solar panels. Really? I mean, what is wrong? But that's the future.
It is. It is so cold.
There's
so
nothing.
Cold.
Yeah. And
I mean,
it's.
Go ahead.
I mean, it wasn't like they made the announcement like, oh, well, you know, at the same time, there's going to be a plant opening up, they're building, and they should be ready to go in 6 months or something like that to where they could transition to. No.
Well, to cut up, and I'm not saying that Ford didn't think about this. I'm not saying that. That's not the point of Ford. This is the point of Biden. To just come in office and almost the next day say we're shutting down the pipeline, all the workers on the pipeline will be out of work. That, right? I mean, I wonder how many voted for him on that pipeline. Maybe we should have now. I'm just curious. But, I mean, that is cold. There was no saying, talking about it and saying, well, we're going to discuss this. You've got maybe look around for another job. This could come in fruition next month or so. He just said, shut it down. It doesn't affect him any. He eats well every day.
I mean, you don't do that to businesses in the heat of in the midst of a recession.
No. And people who are making a living doing that, again, where are they going to go? What's the next step? Where do you go after you get laid off a job like that? Where do you go? Maybe you have talent. You may find something very quickly. But most of them probably won't find the same kind of pay no matter where they go. So I don't know.
At least they'll be able to apply for a $15 an hour job.
There you go. I mean, gosh. And I read about the minimum wage going up and how small businesses are going to cut back on people's hours. So they'll gain nothing, really. They'll cut back on hours or even close the businesses down. This, folks, when you force people to pay more than they can afford, they can't stay in business. This is common sense. But unfortunately, government, especially right now the Democrats, have lost all common sense. And it's going to get so much worse. I'm warning you to please prepare yourself. We were talking about cars, though, and cutting back on production. I thought this kind of fit right in. Flying cars. The race for the skies. No, I mean, you remember the Jetsons?
Oh, of course.
I always thought, man, that'd be cool to have a flying car. But, you know, they used to make airplanes. They used to make car planes. You've seen those, I'm sure. You pull them down the road, it would pull a trailer behind them. You pull off the airport and attach wings to it off the trailer, and you can fly away in your car. That actually, those really were around, and they still have them. But Volkswagen are the latest company to explore potential technology. And I thought this is interesting. We're talking about cars and no chips, but now we'll make an airplane out of them. And Back to the Future doc, Emmett Brown, Marty McFly, and Jennifer Parker jumped into a DeLorean to travel from 20 October 1985, now listen to this, to 21 October 2015. Back, Mel, that seemed like forever in 1985 to 2015. That's been 6 years behind us now. But anyway, while we're getting old, when Marty says there's not enough road to reach the required speed of 88 miles per hour, it was here where the doc uttered the iconic words as the DeLorean prepared to take off. Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. More than 5 years on from the fictional date, flying cars have yet to become a normal mode of transport, but manufacturers are working on it. Recent advances in automotive technology has led to rapid progress in electric vehicles and autonomous driving. The next step for companies is vertical mobility. Volkswagen has joined a growing number of firms looking into the potential of flying cars and is conducting a feasibility study in China, Reuters reports. Beyond autonomous driving, the concept of vertical mobility could be a next step to take our mobility approach into the future, especially in China. I don't know why China, anyway, the German company said in a statement. Therefore, we are investigating potential concepts and partners in a feasibility study to identify the possibility to industrialize this approach. There you go. You won't need tires that much. Thought that was interesting.
Wow. Very interesting.
You know, Ford cutting back on other vehicles, and they're going to make a flying car. So, any comments on that? You'll be the first one, right?
I do hope they do it quick, because I want to be around when they do that flying car. That way I can come and visit you real quick.
There you go. We can do that. Yeah.
See you in an hour.
See
you in an hour.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I've thought about that. I've always wanted to own a plane. Never could afford one, but I always wanted to own one, just for that reason.
I hope they hurry up with that.
Well, they better hurry, because I'm not getting younger. But anyway.
I'm 39, so maybe I will be around.
Yeah, you might be around. You got another 40 years left at least, so you'll be all right. Now, back to good old Biden and another stimulus package. Biden's stimulus to shower state and local governments with $350 billion in aid, make changes to Medicaid. Why does that make you feel kind of funny inside? Make changes to Medicaid. What changes? You know? The funding, which took a back seat during the Trump administration amid GOP criticism that it was nothing more than a bailout for poorly run Democratic strongholds, is slated for a committee action on Friday in the House of Oversight and Reform Committee after Chair Carolyn Maloney introduced it. The bill will bypass the traditional appropriations process, which is not eligible for the budget reconciliation, according to Bloomberg. Then states would receive $195 billion, and that money would partly be distributed based on the share of unemployed workers. The District of Columbia would get the same share as states, unlike the last year's relief bill. Local governments would receive $130 billion, partly based on population, with a carve out for smaller communities. Territories will receive $4.5 billion and tribes $20 billion. The bill also would spend $570 million to pay for 600 hours of paid leave for federal and postal workers to use for COVID quarantine or to care for infected loved ones. They throw around billions of dollars like you throw around a piece of popcorn. $570 billion here, $195 billion here, $130 billion there, $20 billion to tribes, and no big deal. Just pass it around. I don't want
can
to say.
Can I have a billion?
Well, you know, I'm part Indian. Can I have? I mean, I come from a tribe somewhere. You know. But the bill's not going to have to go through. The bill's not going to go in front of the appropriations process, so it's just going to be slide right on through.
Yeah.
And now they're passing and wanting to bring a bill up to pay for retribution for slaves.
Don't get me started on this one. This is my number two pet peeve after property taxes.
the retribution?
Yep, reparations, yeah.
Reparations, yes. Reparations, yes. That's the right word. Thank you. But, you know, we're going to be blamed for what was done 150 years ago. So, yeah. By the way, you mentioned property tax. I spoke to an assessor yesterday on the phone, property assessor, talked to a nice lady. I said, do you realize with property taxes make it so that you never own your property? He said, yeah, I've thought about that. Yes, you worked for the assessor's office. So anyway, just want to share that with you.
Well, they think about it, but they don't do anything about it.
No. They don't do anything about it. No. And Johnson & Johnson, CEO, get ready, folks. Here you go. We told you it's going to happen. Says people may need annual COVID vaccine shots for the next several years. I wonder who's going to profit from that. Maybe Johnson & Johnson?
Maybe.
Maybe. People may need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 annually, just like seasonal flu shots. Over the next several years, Johnson & Johnson CEO Alex Korsky told CNBC on Tuesday. Unfortunately, as the virus spreads, it can also mutate, he told CNBC's Meg Terrell during a Healthy Return Spotlight event. Oh, my. Talk about a windfall for J&J and for others, Pfizer and many, many more who's going to come in on this. The flu vaccine has been around for years, folks, and that 95% of the time they don't work because it's the wrong virus. But COVID did cure the flu. I've noticed that no one has flu today. COVID took care of the flu. So no flu vaccine is being pushed this year. Have you noticed that, Melody?
I have.
You know, it's amazing.
I have.
So actually, maybe something good come out of this. You go into your comments.
Maybe. I want to go back to the reparations.
Well, go right ahead. Say what's on your mind. Please do.
No, go ahead. You're doing great. We'll save this for another day.
And I apologize for ringing phone in the background. I can't do anything about it because...
That's all right.
The answering server's not answering the phone now. But anyway.
That's all right.
Two U.S. carrier groups conduct exercises in South China Sea. Folks, this is growing. Two U.S. carrier groups conducted joint exercise in the South China Sea on Tuesday, days after U.S. warships sailed near Chinese-controlled islands in the disputed waters, as China denounced the United States for damaging peace and stability. The Theodore Roosevelt Carrier Strike Group and the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group conducted a multitude of exercises aimed at increasing interoperability between assets as well as command and control capabilities, the U.S. Navy said, marking the first dual carrier operations in the busy waterway since 2020. In Beijing, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin said the frequent move by U.S. warships and aircraft into South China Sea as a show of force was not conducive to regional peace and stability. China will continue to take necessary measures to firmly safeguard national sovereignty and security and work with countries in the region to firmly safeguard peace and stability in the South China Sea. You know, I have to wonder, why are they doing all this? I mean, what's got this all stirred up all of a sudden?
I mean, it's been stirred up, though, for a while, though.
Well, it seems to progress. Yes. And did you think maybe under Biden it would slow down a little bit? I thought maybe it would, because, you know, Trump had some trouble with China. I thought maybe under Biden it may slow down, but it's still not slowed down. Just kind of curious about that.
Yeah. China's going to do what they're going to do, regardless of who's in the administration, but
it's interesting.
And they'll all play each new administration to see what they can get away with, and you know, they're all, you know, friends in the beginning, and who knows how it ends up at the end. But
yep. And to wrap up with maybe some good news, if you want me to, very quickly.
Absolutely.
Congressman Marjorie Taylor Greene delivers on America's first promises during the first weeks in office. She's a congresswoman, and I'm trying to find where she's from here. It's a Republican. I'm trying to find, again, where she's from. It doesn't say. That's my bad. I should have looked it up. But anyway, she introduced House resolution, articles of impeachment against President Joe Biden, already moving on that. Also, H.R. 24, Federal Reserve Transparency Act of 2021, H.R. 38, Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act, H.R. 426, Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. Never thought you'd pass a law to keep boys out of girls' sports, but you do. H.R. 619, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. H.R. 894, No Tax Breaks for Sanctuary Cities Act. H.J. House Joint Resolution 12, Constitutional Amendment Imposing Congressional Term Limits. I like that. And House Joint Resolution 24, Constitutional Amendment to Prevent Counting of Illegal Aliens for Congressional Representation. Those are some good acts. Will you get through it?
Absolutely.
Probably not. But this lady is a first time in, and she's actually doing something.
She's trying to. Absolutely.
Now, if about 50 of them do that, we might make a difference.
We could.
You know, I thought that was good news to close out in, because I haven't seen anybody in Congress or Senate, either one, do anything like this that I can remember in my lifetime, to move all those things through. And she did more than that, actually, but I just named the top ones on my mind. And to push them through at this early stage, who knows what this young lady might accomplish. Probably ignored by that, since how the Democrats run it, but if the Republicans run it, she's probably ignored. So there's not much difference in that.
No, there isn't. And usually what they usually do, they'll do, you know, one little bill here, one little bill there if anybody does anything. So kudos for her for getting in there and trying to get something done. And that's really that's what we need. And I also heard this morning, I can't recall his name. I think he was a senator. And he says, you know, now's the time we need to start working on the 2022 election. And that's really true, because I don't know what they can do in 2 years, but we got 2 years to at least maybe we can slow them down.
Well, maybe get a good actual real vote this time without being
maybe
fraud. Never know.
Yeah, maybe. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. So I want to thank Butch for joining me today. He did a great job. And until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless. That's you, bad.